The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
Welcome back to this edition of Real Racing USA, the All Harley Drag edition. Stevie Letemp, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely great. We're up here in South Carolina, kind of sweating in the heat a little bit. It's been those 100 degree days, you know.
Yeah, you've been traveling all over the country and all over the country, literally, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But right now, I guess we have a guest with us, Armin Fur.
Absolutely, Armin Fur. Armin, how you doing, guy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Just finishing up a day's of work.
Well, folks, just let me give you a little background here on Armin. Armin Fur, last year was the champion in the Pro Fuel class. And, this year, currently number two in the points chase. But he's got a menace. He hasn't been able to race right now. We're going to try and find out tonight how he's going to handle this situation. He's got a bulldog that just simply won't get out of his way, it seems like. Armin, what you got to do to get past this guy and get back there on top?
It's going to be really hard to catch Jay. I mean, he's done so good this year. I mean, anybody that goes to the finals at every race of the event, you know, I mean, of course they're going to be on top. We fell behind at one race this year in Georgia, and that kind of put us, you know, in a hurting position. I'm going to have to gain a lot of points on Jay in order to stay on top. It's going to be really hard, even if it's going to be possible.
Well, you know, you have set the mile-per-hour record, 214, I believe, and notched up two wins and a runner-up, so you're having a great season. And what do you contribute the mile-per-hour record to? That was done, what, wasn't it at Norwalk, am I correct?
Yeah, we did that in Norwalk. We had a chance to do some record runs in St. Louis this year. Sadly, run real good. I did run a 658.3, which was knocking on the door, Jay's record of a 658.0. Just the air fell off on us a little bit on Sunday, so we just concentrated on trying to win the race instead of trying to set the record. But I figured we got Richmond and Rockingham coming up, and those, both of those are really great tracks, and the air's usually pretty good there. So I think we might going to try to do it again when we get to those places.
Well, we still have a few races ahead yet. Are you going to try and make the Western Swing? Are you going out to Salem, the Salem-Harley race?
No, I'm not going to be able to make that one. There's nobody really here at the shop. You got me and my brother Aaron, Bob, the guy that built the motorsports, and my dad. So most of us would have to be gone. You'd almost shut down my shop, so I'm just not going to be able to make it.
Well, that's a shame because I know these points are crucial. But the same situation, I think, you may find also with Jay Turner, you know, to make the distance too. So that may balance out. But
I don't believe Jay's going to make it. I do know that Douglas Horn and John Breckerridge, they're going to go out there, and they're pretty close behind me. So if both of those do pretty good, they're liable to come out ahead of me after this weekend.
You got to keep looking over that shoulder because they will be back there. There's definitely some strong competition in this class.
There's a handful of people that can win a race at any time. We just have to go out there and do our best every time.
Well, Armin, let me ask you. Get away from the current racing. Tell me a little bit about your history and how you initially got started in it. I know you come from the town of Orangeburg, South Carolina. That's not exactly noted for a major bike town now. Just how did you get started in the motorcycles?
Well, my dad started doing it in 85, and I was around it all the time as a kid. And I was, you know, kind of in my teenage years, I was a little reckless, like to go fast myself. Kind of did it out on the street where I wasn't supposed to. And that's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to do something to go fast, and that's kind of how I got started into it.
So back about 85, you got started in this thing. What did your dad, now your dad is one of the legends in racing as well. He's super competitive, super nice guy, does some of the most awesome burnouts I think I've ever seen. And how did he feel about you racing on the street?
Well, he probably really didn't know about all the racing I was doing on the street. I kind of get that to myself.
I think that was probably a wise decision.
How did you get from the street to the track?
I just, you know, I mean, he kind of knew that I used to hint around when I was, you know, kind of a teenager that you know, I want to build me a bike. I want to go racing. And I reckon he kind of realized I was probably a little too much of a kid to really get in it. And I'm kind of glad that we waited until I was in my mid-20s, because you really got to want to do this kind of stuff. I mean, it's not something that you go out there and there's people out there that race, you know, NASCAR and NHRA and stuff like that, that go out and they make a lot of money and they have a lot of fun, and they don't necessarily have to do all the driving and all the work. And so what we do is you got to be kind of dedicated, and it's kind of hard when you're a teenager or in your early 20s to decide on whether you want to hang out at home and hit the parties and, you know, and do the stuff that everybody does on the weekend, or whether you want to go out to a racetrack when it's 100 degrees and sweat and work and get greasy and, you know, have to do all that and drive all the way back home and then turn around and go to work. So, I mean, you just really got to be dedicated, but that's what I like to do, what I want to do.
Well, tell me a little bit about your shop you guys have down there. You and your dad?
Yeah, it's pretty much a race shop, and I do have a little bit of the aftermarket Harley business. I work on, you know, some customers, local customers, street bikes, and then I also do work for other customers, drag bike wise. Well, I got a bike in here now that a guy I just bought, and I'm doing some things on it for him, and we're going to go take him testing next weekend for his debut on a Pro Fuel bike.
Sounds like you're really devoted to it now. Apparently, you eat, sleep, and breathe it. You're building them in the shop, you're racing them on the track, and how does that do as far as, do you have any time to yourself that you want to do anything different? In some cases, I know guys are just totally locked in and devoted to bikes, and it sounds like you may be one of those guys. Is there anything else that you do other than race motorcycles?
No, not really. If I'm not racing, I'm usually here at the shop or I'm home. About my other only thing I like to do is because of the, you know, I'm going all the time and this, that, and the other. Me and some buddies of mine, I pretty much go get my little John boats and go to the river. The thing about that is we wind up racing them out there too.
Well, I will tell a lot of the people for the area down there around Orangeburg, there's some of the best fishing probably anywhere in the United States when you get down in the Orangeburg area. In fact, Lake Santee is not that far away, and there's some incredible fishing. I was just curious. One reason I asked that, I just had to know if you had a bass boat out there or not, you know, if you did get out there and do a little bit of fishing.
I did have a pretty fast boat at one time, but I didn't really have anybody that would get in it with me because I was too dangerous. So I kind of got rid of it, and I stick with my little boat, and still even in a little boat, I usually wind up going out by myself.
Well, how does the future look for you for this season? Coming up, your next race, it probably is going to be, what, Virginia?
Yeah, we're going to go to Richmond, and then back-to-back from that, we have the AMRA finals in Bowling Green. I'm going to try to go up there and finish that off with the number one plate this year. We're going to try to finish off HRA in the number one plate. If we can catch Jay. I got a local match race here at the new drag strip in Orangeburg. I've been using it for a test facility here for the past couple of months. That's kind of helped out the Orangeburg Soccer Racing a little bit. I got a great, it's only an 8 mile, but a great 8 mile track right here, 15 miles from the house.
Well, you know, Orangeburg Drag Strip, that's probably one of the oldest drag strips in the United States. I believe it originally opened something like 1959 or something like that, and it's still going. And the man that took it over, I understand he put literally several million dollars into this track, upgrading it, and it's absolutely a gorgeous facility, so it's all concrete.
Provided, oh, yeah, he
perfect
didn't
place
just,
you to test that, huh?
Yeah, he didn't just buy a little bit of work on it. He bought this racetrack, and he tore everything up out of the ground and completely redid it from just like it was a brand-new piece of land. It's an awesome racetrack. It's one of the nicest and best 8 mile tracks on this side of the country.
Wow, so you got a great place to test. So coming up down the road then, I guess the next time that I'll get a chance to see you will probably be when you roll into Virginia then.
Yeah, I'm waiting to go to Richmond. Last year, I said I was number one qualifier and run my best DT and best mile an hour ever. And just had some problems first round, and actually broke a hub off my rear wheel, and that kind of ruined my weekend. So I'm looking to get a little revenge at that racetrack this year.
So in other words, that actually turned your best times ever at Virginia.
Well, for that time of last year.
For last year.
Yeah.
And I will tell the fans that when you come to Rockingham in the fall, that usually the air is good there, and that's good, wide, safe track, tons of shutdown, and usually it's got pretty good bite, am I right?
Oh, yeah, and Rockingham is a race that I've always wanted to win. Rockingham was the is the place where my dad run the first six-second pass in history. I also made my first six-second pass at Rockingham, and as many times I've been there, I've never won that race, and that's one race I definitely want to get under my belt sometime in the near future.
So Rockingham holds a pretty special place, especially, like I say, your dad, the first man to go into sixes on a Nitro Harley that happened there, and then you yourself at a later date managed to break that magic six-second barrier as well. That's quite an achievement there.
You know, Stevie, for fans that don't, you know, like myself, who don't know a lot about it and trying to catch up with what Harley drag racing is about, how does the air, Armin, how does the air, you talked a few times about the air, how does this come into play when you're trying to set up to get down the track?
Well, I can't give away all my secrets, but I just in a different time of the year, the altitude, what kind of water's in the air. It's a couple of different factors, and you kind of just go by a certain ratio or some stuff in the air that you can tune by, whether how much fuel you can put in it, and this, that, or whatever. And it's just the main factor basically is air, because all we're doing is running on top of a big pump. So the more air that we can put in it, the better off we can run.
Uh-huh.
That same comment, also the less water in it, because water doesn't burn. So the lower the humidity, naturally, is also a major plus for these bikes as well.
Right. Well, when you have a lot of humidity, it brings in a lot of water. So that takes up space inside your cylinder, basically. And you're correct, it doesn't burn. So you can only burn what you can compress inside the cylinder. Well, when you have good air and you don't have that much humidity, you can burn a whole lot more and put a lot more power to the ground.
Well, Armin, I'll tell you what, I've really enjoyed talking with you tonight, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule, because I know you put in some long, hard hours there. And I appreciate you just taking out a few minutes of your time to talk with Jack and I, and I want to thank you very much, and I really look forward to seeing you at Virginia, just see just how fast you can get that machine to go.
All right. Well, I hope I haven't ruined what I'm wanting to do, but I plan on going to Virginia and doing really good. That track kind of owes me some numbers, so I'm going to go try to put them down this year.
So I guess I can safely say, Jay Turner, look out. Here he comes, Armin Furr. Thanks, guy.
All right. Thank you.
It's pretty wild, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just a great guy, and his dad, same way.
And that's 214, and his dad was pretty...
But his dad was the first man to ever go sixes in a Nitro bike.
Wow.
And I did that at Rockingham.
Yeah.
His father, Bill Furr, which we probably have on at another date, is an interesting individual. Truly part of the South Carolina, I guess, so to speak. Just a unique guy. You can sit down and talk with him all day long and tell you stories forever. And the unique part is, they're all true. They all happen.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back with, I think, Zach Johnson. Is that right?
Zach Johnson. He's currently the man number one in the points in Pro Street.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction, 813-478-8847.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're back with Stevie Letemp and the All Harley Drag Racing Association. And every time we talk to these guys, Steve, I learn something new every day. And, because we have a lot of people that obviously will listen to these shows over either right now or weeks and months ahead. And we'll listen to the shows who don't necessarily know a whole bunch about it. And maybe we'll make a few new fans for this kind of racing along the way.
Well, I think if you'll come to an all-Harley drag race one time, you'll be extremely impressed. First off, great people. Absolutely great people. I had never done a Harley race before until the beginning of this year. And it was my first indoctrination back, I guess, probably 3 or 4 months ago, something like that. Went out to Arizona, out to Phoenix. And I had a chance to meet these guys. And I thought, I didn't know how I would be accepted. And I thought, because I'm coming from the world of four wheels, and they don't even acknowledge. If you have four wheels, that's what you pull the rig with.
Sure.
There is no such thing as a race car. It is a race bike.
Right.
And so I had concern. I thought, I hope these guys will accept me. I don't know. And when I got out there, it was just so easy to adapt these guys. They were so open, and they love their bikes. And the neat thing is, if you come to watch one of these races, as a fan, you can walk right down into the pits and just go up and ask them a question. And if you want to learn about motorcycles and how they run and how the suspension works, these guys will talk your ear off. They're excited about what they do. They truly love their sport, and they're more than happy to talk with you about it. And who knows, they may have you convinced before you know it, you'll be out there in a street bike racing in the street class.
Well, and you've got your feet wet this year in a very big way. I mean, you just came back from the biggest bike party on earth. Tell us about your adventure. What you can tell us.
Well, I was the announcer for Sturgis, and I've never seen anything like Sturgis in my entire life. If you have never had the opportunity and the time it arises to where you can go, if only once in your life, you need to go to Sturgis. Basically, the town of Sturgis is, I don't know, maybe 3,000, 3,500 people. It's not a big place. But Sturgis is no longer just Sturgis. You can take a 20-mile circle all the way around Sturgis, all the little towns in between. It's just wall-to-wall bikers. I was told that in a 10-day period, they estimated right at 700,000 motorcycles are going to go through Sturgis. So it's incredible. I've seen anything from $150,000 choppers to the guy out there in his Sportster that he rides on to and from work. I mean, and from all over the country, anybody, you're apt to meet, Toby Keith, anybody, singers, movie stars, and love bikes. All the big bike shops come out there with 18-wheelers, and they set up and they show all their latest. So if you're really into that, it's incredible. T-shirt Mecca, oh my gosh, I never saw so many T-shirts in my life. And basically, when you pull up to a stoplight, there's four Harleys across, and about 3 foot space in between them behind, that's the next four, the next four, the next four, the next four, the next four. The entire town stays like that all day, all night. And from the drag strip up in the tower, we're up kind of high, and I can look off, and you can see a lot of these little roads because varying off going here and there. But you got to remember, out in South Dakota, not a lot of trees when you get out of the valley. It's all green, rolling hills. It's absolutely beautiful country. I see why they want to go out there on rides. It's beautiful.
Now, who's the guy, who's the gentleman that owns the track, the drag track out there?
Well, actually, it's owned by, it's leased by the All-Harley Drag Racing Association.
Uh-huh.
So, we actually have a lease on it now, and we're in the process of fixing it up. And in the old days, it used to be hay bales and a shard shut down, and it was pretty exciting, I guess you might say.
Right.
But now it's an NHRA-sanctioned track. It runs double concrete guard walls, entire length on both sides.
Now, they had made a bunch of improvements for this year.
Length, the shutdown, I mean, just huge changes on the facility.
Yeah.
And, in fact, we had one individual, and they call him the Grizz, and one of my heroes. And this man, he's out from Pueblo, Colorado. He owns the Chop Shop. He came out there in his bike. Now, we talked earlier about corrected air.
Right.
And how much water in the air and so on. Well, up there, you're at so much altitude, you're sitting probably at 5,000 feet, something like that. And the corrected error for the one particular day that we were in the finals, so it was about 6,700 feet, which is terrible error. You want to race down where it's like 1,000 foot, you know, 1,200 foot or below, that's when you get those fantastic numbers. When you start going up, your bike, our car, either way, both are going to slow down. It's just, that's just the way it is. You don't have air, you know,
yeah,
you can't do anything with it. You got to have
sure.
And it's just like a human climbing a mountain. The higher up you get, the weaker you become because you're trying to draw more air in. Well, even with the poor air that we had, this guy launched the bike and went 421 in the eighth mile at 100, I believe, 168 mile an hour. And I don't think the front wheel ever stepped down. I truly believe probably wow. that was the rear wheel giving you that 421 ET.
Yeah.
And it just, to put that in perspective, in the quarter mile, that is real, real close to probably 620. And 200, and that would probably be a 225 mile an hour run, or a car close to it.
Yeah, and a lot more about this traveling or this series can be found on the All Harley Drag Racing Association website, ahdra.com. Yeah,
yeah, and like I say, the All Harley Drag Racing Association. You just jump on there. If you can't find it, just punch it in your computer, and it'll guide you to it.
There you go,
and learn more about it, where the races will be, and stuff.
All right, let's take a very short break here. We'll come right back with Zach Johnson.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XS Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Okay, we're back here with the All Harley Drag Racing Association, and we have Stevie LaTemp. Stevie, we have a new guest on the line with us.
Oh, yeah, we have Zach Johnson. Zach, how you doing, guy?
Pretty good, Steve. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, but I think you're doing a lot better than me because you are flat getting it on this year in McKay's Pro Street. Currently, Zach Johnson, for all of you out there that aren't familiar with him, he is currently number one in the points. He's already seen three major wins and a runner-up this season. And I got quite a year going there, guy. Tell me about it.
Well, at the beginning of the year, we were struggling pretty hard trying to get the bike straightened out, and it seems like all the hard work's paid off. We've went back to the front so far, but in that class it's hard to tell. The competition's pretty tight.
Well, I do know that there's a guy by the name of Danny Worth that is just flat freezing right up your pipe right now.
Yes, sir.
He's just waiting for you to slip. Is that going to happen?
Well, you can always hope not, but you never know. Danny's consistent, and Danny, you know, they're a hard-working team also, so, you know, hope the best for him, and hopefully we can do just enough to stay up front.
Well, let me ask you, where's your next race going to be with us?
Next race will be in Portland, Oregon.
You are going to Oregon?
Yep.
That's a long haul. And that'll give you an idea, too, the dedication that so many of these racers have. How far is Oregon basically from your home?
I think it's about 48 hours, maybe 50 hours.
50 hours on the road. Holy smokes.
That's the Northwest Nationals? Is that what we're talking about?
Yep.
And that's going to be the Salem Harley-Davidson, you know, Northwest Nationals.
Yeah.
So, have you raced at that track before?
Yeah, I've raced there 3 years in a row now.
How is the track up there compared to what we have here on the East Coast? That's a new track to me now. I've never had the opportunity to be there.
It's a decent racetrack. We always seem to be a tenth or two faster out there.
Really?
Yep. It's hooking up's always an issue because you're making so much more power. It's kind of hard to get the bike settled down. But it's always been a good track.
Well, Woodburn, Oregon, that's almost on the coast. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you should be able to get that good, fresh, clean ocean air coming in there to make that horsepower.
Yep.
Well, tell me a little bit about what you do. Get away from the racing part of it, which I know is a major part of your life, but just how do you make the money then to keep the bike going down the road, I guess I want to say?
Well, a lot of help with our sponsors this year really helped us out. You know, Rush Exhaust, Mack Tools, Barnett Tool and Engineering, a bunch of other guys really helped us out this year. And then here at the shop, I'm a mechanic / manager / whatever needs to be done this week. You know, we build motorcycles, service bikes, pretty much anything your Harley shop will do. Plus, you know, on top of that, the performance work and the bike building.
They do a lot of custom work as well?
We used to. The custom industry seems like it slowed down just a little bit for us anyway. Some of the guys I've talked to said they seem to be the same way, but the motor building right now, a lot of the motor building really picked up and carrying the shop right now.
Well, what is new out there as far as engine designs and ways of generating more power out there? Is there anything new out in the market? I know I heard something about the 60-degree block that the Nitro guys are using. Do you have anything like that you can use as well to increase performance on your bike?
Yes, S&S just came out with a new X-Wedge motor. It's going to be, I think it's a 117 cubic inch motor up to 139 cubic inch motor. It's a new 3-cam motor. I've not really had a chance to get my hands on it yet, but the way the port design is and the way the valve train is, it's, you know, supposedly, you know, you should be able to make 2.5 horsepower per cubic inch pretty easy with this motor, you know, with the right work done on it.
Well, that's some serious power. And will that be legal to run that block in the pro street category?
Technically, I guess it is a pushrod motor, but I don't know. We've not really went that far into it yet.
That's going to be up to Uncle Bill, huh?
Yes, sir.
When I talk about Uncle Bill, if we get a little bit, that's the man who is the head of tech department for the All-Harley Drag Racing Association. And sometimes Uncle Bill's a nice guy. Sometimes he lays the law down. So.
Depending on what kind of mood he's in that day.
That's right. You got to keep him happy.
That's it.
And what do you do? Do you have to go through tech before, like several times? Like, you have to do tech before and after runs? Or how does that work?
Well, what we do is we go through tech as soon as we get there. Say on Friday, we go through tech, take the bike in, our leathers, all of our equipment. And then, you know, at the end of the race, you win a race. It's up to them whether they want to send you back through tech after you win the race. 9 times out of 10, they won't, but I have had them tear me down once or twice.
How about scales? Do you have to be weighed?
Yeah, we weigh after every qualifying round and every race round, and I think we have to be 5.5 pounds per cubic inch.
So some serious horsepower out of these things. At 5.5 horsepower per cubic inch, how light is your bike?
5.5 pounds per cubic inch. I think we're right at 753, 137-inch motor making 250 horsepower.
That's the yellow bike?
Yes, sir. It's actually red now, but it is the same motorcycle.
I got you. Now, how do you take a bike like this? Somebody, do you go buy a bike already built like this, or do you guys, companies like you have, or other people, you go to them and you say, okay, build me one of these?
Yeah, it's come, you know, like if somebody came to me wanting to build a Street Pro chassis or, you know, build a Street Pro bike, you know, we get our chassis. The chassis we're running right now is actually a Cosman chassis, you know, that we put together. We made everything. They made everything suitable to go down the racetrack.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I think G-Squared's doing a deal to where you can actually buy a bike, you know, a bike already finished.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's hard to find one, you know, right off the showroom floor that you can go race. Not in this class, anyway.
Yeah. So like, at say, entry-level type classes, or, you know, to somebody who's just getting involved in this,
What kind of money are we talking about to put a bike out there that's going to be competitive in one of the entry level classes?
Well, like that, the Street Pro class I'm running now is really all I know. You're probably looking at spending anywhere from 60 to 120 grand to be competitive.
And yeah. You have to remember now that the class, that Zach runs, that might be an entry level class into the professionals, because that's a pro class.
Right.
It is a pro class.
We have a class called Sin 3 ET, where basically your street bike.
We'd interviewed some guys who did that, yeah. But this bike here, what we're talking about, is somewhere $60,000 to $120,000.
Yeah, be up to take you close, to be up front or close to up front.
Yeah.
Now this pro street class, even though the name street is attached to it, the first three letters tells the story. P-R-O. It is a pro class. There's some serious money in it. And the drivers are extremely talented, and they're all veterans and quite capable. Any one of them quite capable of winning a race. That's another thing, too, that whenever the fans come on out to see these races, not only can you go up and talk with Zach, and Zach's more than happy to tell you all about it, but you'll find that these guys are very competitive, and you'll have a multitude sometimes of former world champions sometimes just line up, because this is something, if you get that plate with a number one on it, it's really, really tough to keep. I think Zach will verify that.
It is. It's a hard plate to keep. We, you're running a 70-inch wheelbase bike, with a street tire, no wheelie bars, making that kind of horsepower. It takes a real talent to keep the bike, going straight down the racetrack.
Curiosity, Zach, you said no wheelie bar. Now, how do you keep the front wheel down on that launch? Because I know you crank those babies up when you turn them loose.
It's all in rider. I mean, the bike's going to do what the rider, what the rider does. You let the clutch out too fast, the bike's either going to spin or wheelie. It's just a fine line there. There's really no way to put that kind of power to the track doing what we're doing, so we're just trying to make all we can make to run out the back door.
So you have kind of a feel when you start to let the clutch out? Is it just how to let it come out to where you control to keep it from standing up?
Exactly. It's all in feel.
Zach, have you raced other stuff, like other types of bike racing or other types of racing? Or is this just...
I started out on a Harley, similar to this, what we're running now. It was, 4 years ago, these things were closer to street bikes than they are. Than they were race bikes, but it's pretty much the same principle. But now I've never done any other racing I've done some street racing, but other than that, never really done.
Yeah, I think
drag racing other than with HDRA.
I think everybody that races, whether it's bikes or whatever, has always done some street racing.
That's usually what makes the money to fund it all to begin with.
In many cases in the old days, we didn't have drag strips like what we have now either.
Exactly.
That's right.
In other words, you raced on the street because there was nowhere else to go. And one of the things that is pretty nice now, that thanks to the All Holly Drag Racing Association and people like NHRA and IHRA, they have tracks extremely safe, and they're an excellent place to go for a good night of entertainment and to have some fun and do the racing, and pretty safe as well on the street, I have to tell you.
And they reach out, and the tracks have been doing reaching out to the community to try to get especially kids and younger folks coming to the track instead of on the street, too, and that's a
exactly.
good thing.
Exactly. You're in a controlled environment. It's a whole lot safer doing what we're doing at the racetrack than it is out on the street. There are too many cars out on the road.
Well, I'll tell you, Zach, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. And I know you had a busy schedule, and I hate to take you away from it. Maybe just a little break away from turning the wrenches a little bit, probably good now and then, huh?
Yeah, it is.
But I do appreciate you coming on this evening. I thank you very much. And, by golly, I wish you all the best when you get out there to the Salem Harley-Davidson Northwestern Nationals.
Guys, I sure do appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks a lot, guy. We'll talk to you later.
Take it easy.
All right, bye-bye.
Pretty cool.
Well, absolutely. He is a great guy. In fact, they all are. Armin Fur, Zach Johnson, both of these guys, just super individuals.
So let me ask you a question here. We get our dumb question of the week. What is the difference between, okay, so now Zach Johnson, that we just talked to, drives a street pro, What's the difference between that and, say, a Pro Modified?
Well, there's motor modifications and weight differences on them. I almost got to get a rule book out to break it all down.
I got you.
There's a huge amount of power difference. They're fast, but they're all fast. Once you say Pro, whether it be Pro Fuel, Pro Gas, Pro Drag, Pro Stock, Pro Modified, or Pro Street, all these guys flat fly, but there's different engine modifications, a lot like there are on cars. When you see Pro Stock,
sure,
IHRA or NHRA, they're set up one way, and then when you see Pro Modified, they're totally different as far as the power outputs and so on, run different ETs. Well, the same thing carries over when you get into the motorcycles.
Yeah. And so no matter what you're running, you're having fun when you're in an AHRA.
Oh, it is an absolute great time. And I tell you, I've talked before about, you know, adapting and getting to know the guys and everything. And they've just allowed me to come into their family. And that's what it is. It's just a big family. Everybody wants to race. Everybody wants to have a good time. And I'll tell you how great these guys are. I've seen one guy have a starter problem. I've seen the other guy go over there and let him borrow his starter to fire his bike.
There you go.
And they're going to compete against each other.
So what's coming up on your agenda here?
Well, unfortunately, I do not get to go to Woodburn, Oregon. I'm going to miss that race.
Yeah.
And I will be headed to the next race that I will go to will be at Richmond, Virginia, when I go up there for the All-Harley Drag Racing Association. And in the meantime, I'm getting ready to go to Canada here in a couple weeks, where I have a IHRA drag race to do up in Canada. So I'm back on the road again. I'm going to get this weekend off. It's a pretty rare thing for me.
So will you be doing the September All-Harley drag deal in North Carolina?
No, I will be in Canada.
Oh, that's the week you're... Okay, yeah.
Unfortunately. But I will be at Rockingham when the Harleys come to town.
Right.
And I tell you what, if you're in the Carolinas and you want to come to a race, no matter where you are, you want to come to an All-Harley drag race, probably Rockingham will be the killer track, because that is where the air will be awesome. Nice, super facility.
Now, that's on October 13th and 14th at Rockingham, Screaming Eagle Performance Parts Nationals. What you're doing an IHRA drag racing event at Rockingham later in the year, too.
Yep, in fact, I want to say the next weekend.
Is that right?
In the month of October, I have three races at Rockingham.
Yeah.
Go from an IHRA race to an All-Harley drag race back to the an IHRA race, which will be the bracket world finals. And so the we have two world finals in IHRA, and one race with the All-Harley Drag Racing Association. So Rockingham is a happening place.
Yeah, you know, we were there. We went up there for the IHRA drag racing event earlier this year, and had a great time. It was a great facility, and we're going to go back. The 13th and 14th. Now, how many teams do you think will, for an event like that, and especially towards the end of the year, what kind of how many teams show up? How big of an event is it?
I'm going to say we're probably going to have about 350 teams.
Wow.
For the Harleys to come in there, and of course you never know until the race goes down. But I'm pretty sure I'm right in the 350 zone, give or take, you know, 20 or 30 either way.
Got to be a big party on Friday the 13th. Or is that a Saturday? Is that a Saturday-Sunday event or Friday-Saturday?
It'll be a Saturday-Sunday event.
I got you.
We're there Friday, and there will be a party Friday night, I assure you. We have Test and Tune on Fridays.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, Test and Tune is over with about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then one of the darndest parties you've ever seen will break out.
All right. All right. So, and next week, we will have... you know, we'll meet a couple of more of the stars and the top riders of Harley-Davidson's in this country, huh?
Well, we're going to probably just see what happens out here at the Northwest Nationals and see who shines.
Yeah.
And, by golly, see if I can't get them on the air so they can take you all Harley drag racing.
All right, Stevie. Till next week.